Welcome to the Healthy ADHD Podcast. Same podcast, different name. I am your host, Liz Lewis. And like I said before, I do not want to host another boring podcast. If you look on iTunes, there are a gazillion podcasts about ADHD. I'm totally serious. You should check. Look, I just don't want to do the same thing that everybody else is doing. The Healthy ADHD Podcast
is your place to get the best information and hear from the best experts in the field of ADHD. I take all this information and I make it understandable, actionable, and hopefully a little fun. It does not suck.
Welcome to the new Healthy ADHD Podcast. As I say in the intro, same podcast, same host, just a new name. Okay, so I am going to do the first of a two-part series today, where I talk about ADHD and how it affects women in the home. The reason I'm doing this is twofold. First, I haven't edited my last interview. Second, I have noticed in my analytics that people are downloading some of my older downloadables about homemaking and cleaning and organizing and that sort of thing. And when I first noticed this trend, I was a little surprised by it, but you know, let's face it, we struggle the most with some of the practical stuff, the day-to-day stuff. This first part today, I'm going to talk about one of my most popular posts ever, and I'm going to expand on the topic a little bit, and it's called The Naked Truth About How ADHD Affects Women in the Home. So I'm going to start with a story. In 2010, I was pregnant with my son, and you know, in my 20s, I should back up even more. In my 20s, I developed a lot of compensatory strategies to make sure that I didn't get fired from my job and, you know, to get through life. And I actually became really controlling. I was not treating my ADHD. I had a therapist on again, off again, but I was not really treating my ADHD. I was not taking medications and I wasn't even really acknowledging it that much. So by the time I turned 30 and was married and pregnant, I really thought that I had this whole managing ADHD thing, being over-controlling, creating all this over-planning and overcompensation for everything. I thought that I could just carry that over into having my son. And it backfired on me epically because after I gave birth, it became very apparent very quickly that I was not going to be able to control every little thing with this tiny human. This is one of the posts I wrote fairly early on in my blogging career. I no longer consider myself a blogger, but I'm going to go through here because this post has gotten a lot of, a lot of traffic lately. I'm just going to put this out there. I wrote an article for the Huffington Post that went a little nuts. I think I wrote it in 2015 or 16. And I called it, I Hate Being a Stay-at-Home Mom. And of course, people went nuts and told me I was privileged and how dare I and everything else under the sun. But in a certain way, I still stand by a lot of what I wrote because what I wrote was real and it was honest. You know, women with ADHD, and maybe not just women with ADHD, but women in general, we're expected to be good at this stuff. We're expected to enjoy house cleaning and house decorating and being a homemaker. And if you don't enjoy it, there must be something terribly wrong with you, right? And then you add a kid on top of it and it's just nuts. I stand by that article, but that's kind of what started me down this road of writing and talking about women in the home with ADHD and how not everybody loves being a homemaker, all right? Attitude Magazine has an article that's called Overwhelmed Mom Syndrome, and I will try to remember to link to it. That was the first time I read something that I was like, yes, I'm not the only one talking about this. Many of us struggle with keeping our homes in order. We struggle with the organization, the cleaning, and then if you have children, that's just adding a whole other layer. If you are having a really tough time, like me, creating a peaceful, organized, attractive home, you are certainly not alone. You have to forgive yourself a little, just a little bit, and realize you can't really try to do all of this on your own. There's always going to be laundry. There's always going to be dishes. And if you have pets, there will always be animal hair. that is just life. And if you think about it, you know, you go to a friend's house and it looks clean. Chances are you didn't just drop by and knock on the door. They knew you were coming. But I think we have this tendency to project cleanliness or organization or whatever, perfection upon other women that maybe are neurotypical. And we think that their lives look so much different from ours. I'm not sure that they do day in and day out, but that's what we think. So I want you to keep in mind that the stuff that you have trouble with, even a neurotypical woman is also going to deal with. You just don't see it. And it isn't quite, she doesn't have quite the same neurological hurdles to get over as we do. All right, I'm going to break this down. These are the ways that I see ADHD affecting women in the home. The first is organizational tasks. I'm going to give you an example of this. I will do things like clean out my closet. I'll spend an hour or two sorting, cleaning out my closet. I'll also, usually when I'm really like in a hyper-focused state about this, I'll go over and I'll do my son's bedroom across the hall too. And I'll start ripping and tearing and putting things in trash bags and boxes, and I'm all proud of myself. And then I put them in the back of my car, and then they sit in the back of my car. Because the task isn't really completed until the stuff is off my property, at least. And I will just procrastinate about taking the bags or the boxes and donating them. The other thing that I tend to do is I have trouble with organizational tasks for the same reason a lot of us do. We don't know where to start, and we're not really good at seeing the logical progression. And so I will walk into a room and I will look at it and I'll turn around, maybe spin in circles a couple of times, and then I'll walk back out because I don't know where to start. I do not know what the first step is to organizing a whole room. I don't know what the first step is to organizing the top of my desk as I sit here looking at it. I don't know which thing to do first. I can't make a choice. And so these organizational tasks, big and small, we blow them up in our mind and they just become impossible. And so we let it go. We let it go for weeks and months and sometimes years.
Or we do start the project, but we get so exhausted. We exhaust all of our executive function just starting that we can't finish it. And so it's left unfinished for an extended period of time, which always sucks.
So organizational tasks is number one. I don't have great advice for this. And I know that some people would say, well, you know, once or twice a year, splurge on a home organizing. Someone who's really good at doing that. There are people that do this. I mean, there's tons of articles on attitude, and there's people coming to the conference to talk about organizing. Obviously, this is an issue. But for me, I could pay somebody maybe once or twice a year to come and help me, but that would not solve the problem. That would only solve the problem for the day or two that person was with me, and then the problem would build up again. And so to me, that's not a solution, once or twice a year paying someone to help me. If you have a solution to these organizational issues, let me know. But that is the number one thing. That is the number one thing that I hear about in my own private group and on the two Facebook groups that I still go to. People are always trying to get organized. Number two, we have working memory issues. I do things like this all the time where I will pack my son's backpack and then forget that I was filling his water bottle. I'll sit it by the sink, start to fill it, pack the rest of the backpack, and never put the water bottle into the backpack. And that was like 10 seconds earlier, and I don't remember. I actually hurt my wrist about 2 years ago. I hurt my wrist because I was carrying a basket of laundry, and my son said, "Hey, Mom," and I put the laundry down, and I walked into his room to answer his question or whatever. And by the time I walked out of his room in less than a minute, I forgot the laundry basket was in the doorway. I tripped over it, fell like face first over, tried to catch myself and hurt my wrist. This was basically caused by the fact that I forgot about the laundry in less than a minute. When I start a task, if I don't finish it right then, I won't remember I was doing it. If I start to write a note on a Post-it, and I don't finish the note because my husband interrupts me, I will not finish the Post-it. I will not remember the thought. I often carry a little, it's very small actually. It's like what is this, 5x7, this little journal looking thing around with me, because I know that if I don't write it down, I will not remember the thought. I cannot remember things. I do not hold information in my mind. And this is something that we've discussed in the Enclave a lot. There aren't a lot of hacks for this aside from taking notes and everything, but memory is tough. Memory is really tough. And I know that when I take my medication, it might be slightly better. Like I might be able to hold something in my mind for 5 minutes instead of 15 seconds. I'm not sure. But this working memory issue really does affect women in the home. Because if you go to scrub your toilet and one of your children starts to scream, you're going to run and see what that was. And then you're going to forget that there's a toilet brush hanging out of the top of the toilet. Right? Am I right? Okay. Number three. Oh, God. Avoidance of unpleasant or non-preferred tasks. I had to put this on here because with ADHD, we have our issues, right? It's hard to get started on stuff. And it's really hard to get started on stuff you don't like to do. Who likes cleaning? Who likes to clean? I know I can think of two people that I know that enjoy cleaning. They find it therapeutic. Everyone else I know, the vast majority of people I know, do not get a lot of personal satisfaction from scrubbing toilets or doing dishes by hand or even folding laundry. I mean, there isn't a lot of stimulation when you're folding laundry. Like your brain is just on like autopilot, and we don't like that. We don't like that. This avoidance thing becomes an issue when you are, you know, CEO of your house, as I say. I'm the CEO of my house. So if I'm avoiding things like cleaning up the spilled apple juice my son spilled on the floor, well, then someone's going to slip through it and fall, or it's going to dry there and be very, very sticky. But I don't want to get out the paper towels and the spray cleaner and get down on the floor and clean it. That is unpleasant to me. This is a thing. And what the only thing I can come up with to really help me with this is to think about the consequences of not doing anything. If I don't do any laundry, the consequence of that is my family there'll be an uprising and nobody will have clean clothing. If I don't grocery shop and pick up the groceries, I shop online. But if I don't go pick up those groceries, which is not really fun, then there will be no food and my family will be annoying because there's no food and we can't just eat out all the time. If I don't ever clean the toilet in my son's bathroom, can you imagine? I mean, the consequences of that are my house smells like a porta potty. Okay. Avoidance of unpleasant tasks. That's a problem when you're trying to manage a house because there's lots of unpleasant tasks. Moving on. Poor motivation. We all know motivation's a problem. You know, we just don't have the right amount of dopamine going across the synapse, you know, in the right way. I don't know the whole science of it. In order for me personally to get more motivation, the only thing I've ever found that really works is to think about my values. If you think about your top two or three values, mine, one of those is my family, taking care of my family. In order to motivate myself to do some of these unpleasant, unpreferred tasks, I have to think about, okay, well, is me sitting here ruminating negatively and building up the toilets in my mind, is this actually, you know, is this in alignment with taking care of my family? Probably not. Is binge watching The Crown on Netflix in alignment with me taking care of my home and my family? Probably not. So I encourage you when you're hitting this wall of like, I don't have the motivation, I don't want to do it, I encourage you to think about your values. And I actually, if I can remember, I have a post that I just did a week or so ago about figuring out, you know, prioritizing your life, figuring out what is important to you and what you value. Because a lot of times, if you can go back to the top two or three things in your life, it's easier than to make decisions. It's easier than to say, okay, well, sitting here is not in alignment with my values. Sitting here is not in alignment with taking care of my family, and it's not in alignment with growing a business, and it's not in alignment with serving my community. So I need to get off my patootie and go and do something. Ugh, yeah, that. All right, the last thing I want to talk about here that really impacts women at home is I call this general lack of awareness. For me, this looks like wandering around my kitchen, opening a cupboard door, getting something out. Then I don't shut the cupboard door and I leave the kitchen. And then maybe 2 hours later or an hour later, I come back and I open the refrigerator and I get out something else and I'll leave out the cutting board and then there's more cabinet doors open and I just don't even notice that these things are hanging open. Like all it would take was me shutting the cabinet doors or moving the cutting board and putting it in the dishwasher, and I don't do them. I just sort of do what's right in front of me and then I move on and I've already forgotten that it's there. And I know that this is really tough for the families of people with ADHD, because you just leave drawers and closet doors and all kinds of things hanging open. There's that, but I mean, there's also just the lack of awareness of the people around you. You know what I mean? When you're sitting, maybe you're sitting in the main living area of your home or your kitchen and your kids are talking and your spouse is talking and you're thinking about something else or you're checking your phone or whatever, and you have no idea what's actually happening around you. You have no idea what the kid just said to you who's sitting to your left. you don't know. We just don't have this ability to divide our attention amongst different people and activities all at one time. And again, I've talked about monotasking, I believe. If I have not discussed monotasking, I really should. There's another thing I should probably put in the memory bank. In short, it does not serve us to try to answer emails, text on our phone, and help our kids with homework all at the same time. We are not good at that. You know, we just don't do well with the multitasking. We need to monotask. So to end this, I will reveal. These are the things, this is the first part in my series, these are the things that I think really affect women at home and make it hard for us to feel successful at the end of the day. Organizational tasks, we just don't have a clue. We just don't. Short-term and working memory. We just don't have it. We don't hold information in our mind. It makes it hard to complete things. It makes it hard to remember what we were doing 10 minutes ago. Anyway, we avoid things that are unpleasant or non-preferred. Sometimes our motivation wanes. Sometimes we forget what really matters and our motivation starts to wane. And the general lack of awareness and trying to multitask is an issue. I'm going to say this again. You need to give yourself a little grace, forgive yourself, realize you can't do it all on your own. One of the things that has really helped me and the people in my community is body doubling. We meet during the day at least once a week, usually at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, usually on Tuesdays, sometimes Wednesdays, and we body double. Some of us are doing paperwork. Some of us are cleaning something. Some of us are making phone calls that we've been putting off, whatever. But it's called body doubling. And there is some science to back this up. I don't want to go into it on this podcast. But one of the things you can do for yourself, if you're struggling with this at home, if you're struggling at home, and I know a lot of you are because I get emails and you download my stuff all the time. If you're struggling at home, consider body doubling. You can do it with us. We do it at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. All right. I'm going to get off this because I don't like a long podcast. I don't like boring podcasts. Let's not even go there. If you want more information from me, email me at healthyadhd@gmail.com. Don't forget, the ADHD conference is coming up. It is in Philadelphia this year, November 6th through 9th. If you are at all able, even just to come for a day, you totally should. It's worth it. Stick around. Next time, I want to talk a little bit about actual house cleaning, some strategies, some tools that have worked for me. Like I always say, we are stronger together.